welcome to episode number 13 of Girl Fight, which might possibly be
for real this time. It is
an unlucky an unlucky episode. We've had a few false starts here, but hopefully at the end of the hour we will find all of our voices appear in this MP3 file. So keep your fingers crossed for us. I am Nicole Tanner. I am your host. Today I am joined by Dana Jungle Ward.
Hi, everybody.
Christine Steimer.
Well, hello there.
And Megan Sullivan.
13 is my lucky number.
Okay.
Oh, can you introduce me again?
Yes, Dana Jungle Ward.
Oh, damn it. I was going to try and belch.
She's got a Diet Coke on her.
Swallow air.
I know. Yeah. I know. No, but the Diet Coke ones are much better than the swallowed air ones.
Yeah.
True.
We'll see.
Jess, unfortunately, will not be joining us today because she is in Montreal helping the IGN sell stuff, which I assume is ads. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think she knows either.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, they're using her up there. It's, you know, she's IGN icon, I guess.
There you go.
That wasn't a very good one either, but oh well. That's going to have to make do. Sorry.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
So, yeah. So, it's just nice. The four of us this week, but that's cool. We got some big news in this week, and that is the fact that our panel that we submitted for PAX has been approved.
Yay!
So, we're super excited about that. We're still getting all of the actual details ironed out. Right now, the panel is tentatively scheduled to happen between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock on Friday of the PAX in the Serpent Theater.
I thought it was the Raven Theater.
Serpent.
Yes.
The Better Theater.
Yeah. So
many theaters with crazy names.
You know, with shows like that, schedules can always get flopped around and change at the last minute. So we'll try to keep you updated on that as much as we can. And since we will be there, we are going to do our best to do at least a quick little meet and greet as well. So if you're going to PAX, you get to see us. Woohoo!
And if not, it seems like we will probably be able to film it as well and put it up on IGN later on.
Yes, everybody has been writing in and begging for a video cast. This might very well be our first video cast.
It will indeed.
Yes. So you know what we all look like, and you'll finally be able to know who's talking. Yes.
So pay attention.
Yeah.
We will be giving quizzes afterward.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, let's get started like we always do with what we're playing. Who wants to start?
Megan? Why don't you start, Nicole?
Okay, I'll start. I finished Singularity. It was cool. You know, like I said last week, not remarkable, but solid shooter. It was fun.
How long is it?
It was 10 or 12 hours, depending upon how good you are at shooters, which I'm not that great. And I was playing on normal difficulty. I'm sure it's a lot longer on harder difficulty. Not a lot of replay value. You do get to make a choice at the end, but, you know, you can just reload your last save and then make the other choice to find out what the other end
right.
is.
So. I don't know why anybody would play a game all the way over just to see
just for, one choice
unless
at the very end.
Which would suck. Like, the game's games now, a lot of the times, use the autosave, which sucks.
Right,
because you can't.
Right, go back. Yeah, there's no earlier save.
I've been having that problem with Red Dead, actually.
You know what you do? That's when you go to YouTube and you just watch the alternate.
True. Yes.
Rather than playing through 10 hours.
Or trophy whore, and then you feel the need to get it. But
yeah.
And if it was a really fun game, I guess.
Yeah, it auto-saved right before the ending sequence. And so when I loaded it back up and saw where it was, I was like, oh, I might as well do this other ending and get the other silver trophy. Why not? So that was a pretty cool game. I think largely in the press, it's been a little bit underrated. I know Eric didn't seem to like it very much. He said he thought the story was corny, but I didn't think the story was corny at all. So, I don't know. Just my opinion. What else have I been playing? Alan Wake. I finished Chapter 3 last night. I am very much liking the story and the atmosphere of that game. It's like a love letter to Stephen King, which is really cool. Stephen King is one of my favorite writers. The only thing about that game is that some of the character models and animations...
Oh my god, the animations are so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's really
the
jarring.
Lip-syncing
the lip-syncing
the
is
the worst
is
I've ever
way
seen.
Off.
It's just like they're slack-jawed.
I know, it's just...
Yeah, I know. If we just have them with their mouths open, then we don't actually have to sync anything up.
Yeah.
You're making your cat talk or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and they walk unnaturally and stuff too, and that really just kind of, you know, jars you out of the atmosphere a lot of times, which is not cool. And I was really surprised that that was the case, because the environments, like the trees and the lake and everything, gorgeous, completely beautiful. I think
it's a little harder to make the
I'm sure it's harder to make the people
and make them talk realistically.
Yeah, but
they had like 6 years, so they should have been able to do
that. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and Alan's the main character's hair is just a texture and a pretty obvious one at that. It's like you could have at least, you know, given his hair a little bit of something. He's your main character. So, but I don't want to bitch about that too much, because I do like the game. I like the gameplay and I like the story. So this is one of those cases where I'm willing to overlook its flaws because I am enjoying it.
Cool. And they're kind of funny flaws.
Yeah, they are kind of funny.
They are talking.
Yeah, I mean, he can jump all of like an inch off of the ground.
Oh, that's right.
And it's really dramatic when he does it.
He's like, but one funny thing I did discover, I don't know if we knew about this, but there is an Alan Wake book.
What?
Did we know about that? A book.
Is it a book based on the game, or is it a game based on the book?
I have no idea.
Because there's a God of War book, but you don't want to read that.
Well, it looks like
did you already do that for us?
I actually was flipping through in Borders today, as a matter of fact, and was like, wow, this is... I'll just put this down.
Seems like it was released in tandem with the game, so I think maybe, you know, it's along lines how they did those live action things.
Yeah.
So I haven't read it yet. I downloaded it to my Nook. Mm. It's next on my list. I'm in the middle of a Stephen King book right now.
Did you have to pay?
No, I paid for it. It was like $9.
Oh.
But I was curious, like, so
I don't think I would get vastly curious of, like, I will check it out if I'm in a bookstore and thumb through it. Although I've never been.
Well,
that
I don't think it's been. I think it's ebook only.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
It seems like the sort of thing you should have made for free.
Yeah.
Just my.
Well, they didn't make enough money off the game, so maybe they're hoping that people will buy
Did they not make enough money off the game? Did it not sell?
It hasn't sold very well. Yeah.
That is too bad.
Media Mike and I, can you hear me? Sorry. We're talking about how it seems like every game now has a book. Like we were talking about, I stupidly bought one of the Dragon Age books and was like, it's by the same guy who wrote the game, but he admitted
you
that he really...
A book, not like a comic
An
book.
Actual book.
Got it.
Like an actual novel.
They do comic books a lot now, too.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. I think that would be better.
They did do comics.
Because honestly,
I think before the game came out, though.
Yeah.
Penny Arcade...
Most
did
video games
did the art for them at
it's
least.
Not
do not
same.
Have enough story.
They're
to
more like
write a novel.
I mean, script writing and novel writing are two extremely different things. Stephen King is another great example of that. Great novelist, not so good at the screenplays. So after I read the Alan Wake book, I'll read it next after I finish what I'm reading right now. I will report back.
Please do. I'm very curious to see which way this will go.
Sorry, I'm shifting a lot today.
All right. Megan, how about you?
I've actually played quite a few games since the last time I was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. But before I get to the games that I bought, I wanted to give a shout out to Carlton and his lovely wife in Virginia. They were donating their old games, their old PlayStation games, to their friends and came across Vagrant Story, which is in pristine condition. And they took the time, trouble, and money to send it to me cross-country at IGN because Carlton knew every week, like clockwork, on my IGN blog, I complained that Vagrant Story still isn't out on the U.S. PlayStation Network. Drives me crazy. So they actually sent it to me with a note saying, you know what, we found this. We know that you've been looking for it. Here you go. That was a total random act of kindness. So I wanted to thank Carlton and his wife. That was super sweet that you thought of me and actually went through the effort of sending it. So thank you so much. I'm enjoying it. Love it. Thank you.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yes. What else? Oh, I bought, finally, Red Dead Redemption. Thanks to all the IGN Girl Fight Facebook readers who gave me pointers on how not to be a total fail at the game. As Christine was actually saying on one of my blogs, it was Deadeye is really, really key.
Well, because I couldn't figure out how I was triggering it because I never go through the tutorials. I never go through. I never read the menu.
They're really boring.
I always just sort of play around with the controls to figure out what does what. Mm-hmm. And I could never figure out how to start it. It would come up randomly, but I couldn't figure out what I was doing. You right click on the, you click on the right analog stick.
Right.
Click it in, and that's how you do it. Which for the longest time I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Although now I shoot everything that moves. Well, just about anything anyway, because I get, sometimes you get ambushed or there's a lot of enemies around and sometimes they have hostages or horses get in the way.
Yeah, if there's
or
hostages,
something.
You need to use
How many hostages Deadeye? And horses have you killed?
I haven't killed any hostages, I don't think, but I think I've accidentally hit a horse or two with my gun.
That's okay. Greg did that the other
night. It seems like everybody's doing it.
He was going to do clear out one of the gang hideouts, and the horse, like, as he was lining up his shot to sniper this guy off a building, the horse walked in front of him.
Yeah.
Even though it was originally, like, way back there, because he
got
off.
Yeah, that's what happened
horse.
To me.
Can't you tie your horse in place?
No, not in the middle of the desert.
Not only that, but also there were other horses randomly in the background. I don't know if they were the enemy's horses or they're wild horses, but they were just kind of walking
if
along.
They have a saddle. They're the enemy's horses. If they,
I think they had saddles,
saddle,
so I think then. I shot their horses. Which
that's probably good.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
But you know, this is actually very realistic horse behavior. Horses are not the brightest animals, and
that's
like
true.
When they get scared,
but
they're just like,
dude. All our horse listeners are totally going to send you hate.
I love horses. I love them, but anybody who knows. When a horse gets spooked, they do not act rationally in any way, shape, or form. They just run. Yeah.
Another funny story was, so he randomly got attacked by a cougar, but the cougar like ran up to him and then decided to turn and run away. And then the horse chased after the cougar. I'm pretty sure the horse wouldn't do that. It would probably run in the opposite direction.
Yes.
But, all right, sure.
I haven't come across any donkey women or flying horses yet, but I don't know if they've patched that.
They probably patched it.
Because the game keeps making me download updates, and I'm thinking that's what it is, but I was kind of hoping.
What about the woman doing the squats on the bench
saw?
Not yet.
She's at the very end of the game.
Okay, because I'm still at the beginning. So, but I will say that I'm getting better, and I wanted to thank everyone for their tips. And I also got a tangent time, but I also got a Puzzle Quest 2. Which, if you liked the first game, you will like the second game. It still has the same issues I had with the first game, which is it is a role-playing game, and I wish there was a little more story as opposed to fetch quests, but that's a very minor complaint. So
I didn't actually, in the original Puzzle Quest, I didn't pay any attention to the story. I was like, all right, whatever, ogres, whatever. Give me some more fighting.
Exactly.
I would have paid more attention to it if it was good. It was just kind of lame, generic.
It's very generic, and I was hoping the sequel would make it sort of take it to the next level. It has massive potential. So, Nicole was nice enough to give me an office copy of Dragon Quest IX. So I will be trying that out, and I will see if Ryan's score is right or wrong. He gave it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Which is good, but it's, you know, Dragon Quest is sometimes hit or miss for people because there's a lot of different, you know, very simplistic elements to it. So, but
Dragon Quest?
I played Dragon Quest 8, which I really, really liked. Dragon Quest 4, which was okay. I was on the DS and it's dated. And then way back in the day, I played Dragon Quest 3, which was known as Dragon Warrior 3, I think. And it was boring, so I didn't play that one all the way through. But Media Mike says that Dragon Quest 9 is really good as well, so I'm going to try to
team up with people, multiplayer?
I'll try, if I can find enough people to do it with.
I'm sure Jack would.
Yeah, Jack or somebody. Yeah, so I'll let you know.
Cool. How about you, Christine?
I just recently reviewed Deathspank, which is Ron Gilbert. If you don't know who that is, he created Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion, his latest game. And that's sort of an action RPG thing.
Is it fun?
It is fun. However, what you were saying about the fetch quest, that was my biggest issue with it, was that was all it was fetch quest. Except there with some minor exceptions of, there were a few like light puzzle elements to some of the quests, which I really enjoyed. And I was hoping for a lot more of that. Because it would have kept the game a lot more interesting. But for the most part, it was go here and give me this ingredient, or go here and kill all these things and bring me back proof that you've killed them, or, you know, just sort of that stereotypical thing. And killing things is fun, especially in that game, because there's so many weapons and so many ways you can kill them. But at the same time, I was like, okay.
Isn't there a whole feature or mode that's like useless stuff that I get to do or something like that?
It's called Unimportant Things I Need to Do. It's all your side quests. And then all of the main quests are called Important Things I Need to Do. I mean, there's a lot of cute things in the game like that. Like, everything's very cleverly named. And
what'd you give it?
I gave it an 8.5.
All right.
I knocked it down a bit, because of the go fetch. I was like, I thought about it, wow, this is pretty much, you know, standard in RPGs, is go get me this. I was like, why? Can't somebody think of something more interesting than that?
Well, I think we're getting spoiled with like bigger, grander, like Western RPGs like Mass Effect and Dragon Age.
But even then, they still do the similar thing. They just sort of mask it like with a little bit more story.
And better graphics.
And better graphics. Yeah, exactly. But that's, speaking of graphics, I think Jeff Spank's art style is very cool. The whole world is 3D. All the character models are 3D. But all the scenery is actually 2D. So all the trees and all the buildings and stuff. So they kind of just look like little cardboard cutouts sticking up. But really cool and very colorful. Which is nice to see. It's not just brown and gray and whatever. Right. All the other colors people like to use. But so I played that. And I started Alan Wake last night. I played about 30 minutes of Toy Story 3 as well. And then I was like, what? No. I don't want to play this, actually. I thought I wanted to play this, but I don't. So I put back in Alan Wake, and I've only finished the first episode. And I don't know why I'm playing it, to be honest. Because I am not a horror fan. I get scared.
Yes. And it's a scary game.
It's a scary game. So I'd already watched the first half, you know, because Greg played it. And I was watching a play. I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. And I started playing when it was still light outside. I was like, all right, this is fine. I can do this. And
like, whatever. This game isn't scary at all.
And then it started to get dark outside. And the sun started to set. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to stop playing this game now. I'm going to move on to something else.
But yeah, that's awesome. So what did you like about Toy Story?
I don't know.
Kiddie for you?
I didn't really like the controls either. I was just like falling off the very first thing you do is Dr. Porkchop or whatever. evil Dr. Porkchop. Yeah. And the stupid horse would like slide off the cliff as you were running down trying to, I don't know. I just didn't like, it was like run forward. I don't like those kind of things.
Oh, yeah, and that's right. You have to do the one story-driven thing before you can get to the toy box mode.
Yeah, I did go through the tutorials of the toy box mode because that gives you an achievement. And then I was like, yeah, maybe later. I wasn't really in the mood for it.
That's fair.
But that's all I can think of. Oh, Pokemon! Finally getting back to doing that. I have been on a long hiatus from Pokemon because I just got really sick of it. But I actually am going to the Pokemon tournament in Hawaii now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's August 13th is when I'm flying out. So I think it's the 14th and the 15th.
That's awesome.
So Jack and I are going to go, and we're going to try and do the catch 'em all feature there and hopefully get it done. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's enough people there that will be willing to trade with me that I can just get all the stupid Pokemon and be done with it because I'm really kind of sick of that feature. That was stupid of me. At the time, I was like, yeah, I could totally do it.
How many are there?
There's like freaking 400 almost.
Oh my God.
Wow, that is daunting.
How many do you have?
I have about a third of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Once I got about a third, I was like, I don't.
You're like,
I'm so tired of this. I don't want to catch these things.
You're like, I'm not an 8-year-old boy.
It was more along the lines of, no matter where you go, you always seem to find the same stupid Pokemon.
Yeah.
So it's really hard, and you're like, gotta go through all these different areas and try and find one guy that's new after you've run into 50 of them.
Yeah, that would drive me nuts. Like, just seeing the same stuff over and over and over and over.
Hey, look, you're in a cave. There's a Zubat. Cool. Oh, look, there's a Geodude. Sweet. Oh, maybe there's an Onix. That's about it. Nice. But yes, Dana, what are you playing?
I finished Lego Harry Potter. And have done a little bit of the, like, I finished the story stuff, but like with any Lego game, that leaves you about a third of the way done.
Right.
So then I was doing some of the, like, looking for the gold bricks and the shields and stuff. So I've done some of that, but then I was like, I could spend forever doing this. And so I decided to, so last night I started God of War 3. So I made it past the first, you know, the big boss battle sort of thing. So I'm in hell now. And
that's literally not. Yeah.
No, I know, but it was. It's still a funny way to say.
Yeah,
it.
It's good. I mean, it's God of War. The one thing I will say is like it's. I really liked the art style that they did for the intro of this one because that's a new. Mm. Like they haven't used that sort of format before, and that was really impressive. I've actually always really loved how they dealt with the non-game portions graphically on that game, but it was really really cool.
For those that are listening and haven't played it, it's kind of comic booky-esque.
Right, style, but not like cel-shaded.
But not cel-shaded. It's Yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe.
It's textured. It's really cool.
It actually is similar to the Dante's Inferno in between stuff.
Yeah. It's really pretty. And looking at that game, too. I mean, because that series has always been so good looking on any platform it's on. And it's just...
It's gorgeous.
I know we've been... I mean, what, the PS3 came out in 2006 and it's 2010 now, but it's still just like, man, games look really, really, really good. And it's just one of those games that makes me stop and go, wow. So it's really pretty. But back on the Lego Harry Potter thing, I really like playing the Lego games. I've played most of them. I mean, I played, Lego Indy and Lego Star Wars and Lego Batman. Mm-hmm. But it drives me a little bit nuts that it's kind of the same problems with each one. Like the stuff, the buggy stuff, you know, the stuff, the broken objects that you can't quite interact with, or you have to get to the same thing, or just stuff that's hidden. Not hidden. It's not to describe, but you have to randomly stumble into parts that you can't see, in parts of the level that you can't really see, and there's stuff hidden back there. I don't know. It's just... They've made so many of these games by now, and that it's still some of the same fundamental things. I mean, they are what they are.
Co-op.
Yes, co-op is good at least because the screen splits.
The screen doesn't
now
pull you off to your death.
But yeah. I'm not playing co-op because we only have one PS3 controller right now because we lost the dongle for our second one. Oops. Which is fine because then we won't fight.
Although, can I quickly touch back on God of War graphics parts of that game are so gorgeous, but I was a little disappointed that parts of it, like certain characters didn't look as polished, certain levels didn't look as polished. Did anyone else notice that a little bit?
Yeah, I did. And it's...
I haven't gotten far enough yet.
You know, obviously just as in anything, the art team has their priorities. Obviously they have to make Kratos look fantastic. Mm-hmm. They have to, you know...
Do those big set pieces and make those look...
Yeah, and, you know, when you're running out of time and it's like, we've still got 5 characters we gotta make. It's like, okay, which one's on screen the least? Okay, that one goes to the bottom of the pile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think Hermes and, like, Helios looked a little polygonal and a little... Yeah. Not quite as polished, even though they had really cool parts and cool scenes. And
Hermes...
Bad.
That is
freaking
the
annoying,
Dragon
though.
Age characters in the screenshot.
Oh, hang on. We'll get to that in
a
minute.
We'll get to that. Because I'm going to yell and scream and holler and bitch and moan
about
that.
Okay, just give me advance warning so I can turn down your mic a little
bit. Okay. Well, I'll try not to really yell, but I will go on it.
Yeah, you can go on a rant. That was the one... it did feel a little bit weird at the beginning, in that beginning thing where Zeus is up there and he has all his posse with him. And it felt a little comic book character, a little superhero-y. Like, all kind of there, and they looked a little superhero-y, and then they're all, like, diving off the cliff.
Well, they are superheroes.
They're gods. They're not superheroes.
Yeah, same thing.
I don't
they
know.
Got powers.
It just, it was like, it was like, yeah, it felt a little.
Yeah, I mean, I never expected, like, Hermes to look as muscular as he did. Like, I always sort of pictured him as this very lanky runner type person, you know?
He's a messenger, therefore he'd be a runner.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're all beefed up. But I think, you know, it fits into the style. I mean, just look at Kratos himself. So, yeah.
Kratos always looked good. But
yeah. So next week I'm going on vacation actually on Friday, and we've rented a house on the coast with my in-laws, and I'm giving my old 360 to my mother-in-law. So I will actually have a 360 with me. So I'm going to bring along Red Dead, and then hopefully I can start that. Hopefully I can be like, I am giving this console to you, but I'm not going to give it to you until the end of the week. And I'm also I plan on bringing Puzzle Quest 2, and then I'm gonna look for a few like low res PC games, so you know, just stuff that I can play on my work laptop to bring along with, because that'll be good. So that'll be nice. It's gonna be nice to just be away. We aren't gonna have any internet or anything, so I'll be like, all right, I know, it's going to be crazy.
What will you do?
I'll have my iPhone still, but yeah. I will sleep. I will let my in-laws watch my kid, and I will sleep. And I will shut myself up in a room with a TV and play violent games in the middle of the day when she is awake and have them watch her. Nice. And it'll be awesome. Yes.
Cool. All right, so that's what we're playing. So now we're going to move on to our topic of the week, which... fits in very nicely with what we all are dying to talk about, and that is sequels. The basis for the topic actually came because our editor-in-chief, Hillary Goldstein, wrote an editorial on IGN yesterday, which you should check out if you haven't, basically saying, stop complaining, people, sequels can be good for one, and number two, they're necessary. You keep buying them, and they're necessary to kind of keep the industry
afloat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, we're going to talk about what we think about sequels, but obviously the first sequel we're going to talk about is Dragon Age 2.
Woo!
Who wants to rant first?
I'm going to let Megan, because she looks pretty PO.
You don't understand. I have been so looking forward to this game, and I found out a little bit early about it because I got an advanced script for it in my voice acting class.
Got
that
it.
Was the
yeah.
game. And so I'll still keep my mouth shut. I'll still be professional about one of the characters that have not yet been introduced. They look really cool, so I was really, really stoked. Already I'm thinking, cool character, cool writing. And then these screenshots come out, and I'm like, oh, God, what is this? And then I'm like, okay, let's not panic. Just because the original game screenshots came out 14 months before the game came out and they still looked kind of similar to the final product does not mean that these screenshots that have been released only 8 months away are not going to improve. I'm not going to panic. But the more I see
them,
totally the
more
panicking. I'm like, totally panicking.
Two more came out today. Not so much better.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's there's been a lot of He-Man comparisons, for one. He's got a
Skeletor-looking
character.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
And
know.
It's very it's bad when I feel like I could make better graphics and I know nothing about making video games. So I'm really like, BioWare, what are you doing?
I would not claim that I could make better graphics, but they do look really brown and boring.
There's no texture to the graphics.
So in one of them, I've just been focused on making blog entries about how terrible these graphics are. One of them is Sad Ogre is Sad, because the ogre in one of the first screenshots released just looks depressed.
Yeah,
he's about to get, I mean, I know he's about to get stabbed
like,
in the face.
He's like,
but
I'm
think
so ugly.
An ogre would be like, rah, you know, yeah, like, I'm going to eat you. Yeah. I will battle you and I will win.
He's like,
and
why am I in this awful screenshot?
He's just like, oh, no.
He does.
Don't hurt me. And
maybe he's a good ogre. Maybe you're actually being bad.
Oh, wow. There's a thought.
Twist, plot twist.
Yeah.
But and then the ones that were just released, I think yesterday or maybe today.
Yeah.
I think today. There's one, I don't even know what is happening in the background. It looks like somebody fell on a toilet.
Yes.
Like he's okay. There's like some sort of a bird bath looking thing, or just I don't even know what it is, but he's fallen on it and his legs are like sprawled out as if he's like fallen on his butt. And I was just like, what? What is that? Like, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
They're totally out of context. Like, I can't even get a hold of the context. It's like, I think those are Darkspawn, but who is that? And what is that? I couldn't even, I could
sort
see
of
the ogre, but I couldn't tell what the
well,
other
also,
like Planet of the Apes a little
yeah
bit.
You guys
like
are also faces bummed out because you're not, you can't, your character from the original Dragon Age is not.
They
upsetting
said that they will import saves some way, I think.
That's
I don't.
What
it's not, obviously not going to be
your
character,
character
because.
But maybe the
guy,
choice
maybe,
that you
well
made will.
What I'm hoping, or what could possibly be, is maybe your character will be part of the party.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know if it'll be that, or rather, it'll just depending what ending you chose,
yeah,
it'll be some
oh
back reference
true
that
yeah
or your
that
your player
suck,
will
though,
like,
if
walk
that was
by.
Well,
it
it's supposed to take place 10 years later.
Yeah.
So
oh
I mean,
yeah, well, so he'd still be alive. We're seeing you die
yeah
in 10 years.
Yeah,
but you could be an NPC.
Yeah, that would
yeah
be kind of cool. But I don't know. I
just sound like the old man quest giver.
Yeah. It's just like, I won't spoil it for anyone. But the one of the possibilities that involving Morgan at the end seems to imply that if you make such and such a choice, then it will affect the sequel. And if that's not the case, it was like, why put in that choice?
For fun,
I guess.
No,
I don't
know.
I have no idea.
The thing I'm a little irked about is, sure, it's not called Origins anymore, but I'm going to be missing the origin stories a little bit. Like, I'm going to be missing the fact that I could choose to be an elf or
a
dwarf
mage,
or
yeah
whatever.
I don't
and
know why they're another streamer.
Now you can
it,
only
but
be a human.
Yeah.
And
a specific
kind of
character.
Kind of boring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A specific character too.
And I like the
yeah
replay value of being able to go back and be like, okay, I was a human. Now I'm an elf. Now I'll learn more about some characters that I came across, you know, in the first time. And then this time I'll be like, I'll learn more about the elves, or I'll learn
to
more
me
about the
to me, that
the
was
mages
the coolest thing about Dragon Age was the origin mm-hmm stories. Because I went through, and before I even went through the campaign, I played all the origin stories first. And then as I was playing through with the final character I decided to go through with, I still saw all the other people
mm-hmm
that you
mm-hmm
met in all the other origin stories. And
right
it was really cool seeing how they came back, you know,
yeah,
and,
right,
you know, if you were in that original origin stories, it was different for you than if you weren't. But they were
mm-hmm
still there and still part of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just neat the way they did that. So
yeah
I'm kind of sad it won't be there, because I thought that was one of the shining elements of that game.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when they, because it's coming out awfully fast. It takes, what, an average of at least 2 years to make a decent game? So the fact that they...
Yeah, well, but that's from scratch. I mean...
Yeah, they already have the engine, which, granted, they should probably polish it up because there were so many friggin'
I do not and want I'm another sure frame rate that buggy game.
I am sure that they have art assets that they can reuse, too. That you happens all the time.
I kind of want to be like, how is... Because Mass Effect 2 looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Lend some of your guys over to the
Dragon Age. Your A game to your B team.
Just loan them for a little bit. I don't know. Granted, I do want them focused on Mass Effect 3, but just to help them make Dragon Age look a little better.
Or at least be a little buggier, not to have loading times or weird, funky things happening where you're in the middle of battle.
Well,
and you get
stuck. We don't know that that's not going to be fixed. All we've seen is
true. All we've seen is screenshots.
And I just want to come quickly to their defense, having been on the other end of like taking and providing screenshots. Taking good screenshots is really hard to do. So,
yeah, but at the same time, I feel like if you're announcing your game, you
I understand
take the time
that.
To get like, some good screenshots.
I mean, and I don't know who took them or whatever, because sometimes the developer doesn't even take them. It goes to the PR department at the publisher, and they take them.
And then you make the flunky at the bottom of the PR totem pole.
Uh-oh.
Take them. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the one you were talking about today about the guy falling in the boat.
I will show you when we get upstairs. It's
like,
really funny.
I can't imagine that somebody actually on the team took that. I would bet you like $50 that was somebody at EA who didn't know what they were doing.
It's a good point, but also they should be a little more careful because they've been touting it to have better everything.
Better graphics,
better gameplay. Da-da-da. Yeah, you should gotta be that hot shot.
You shouldn't say it's gonna be better graphics than release bad screenshots.
Yeah,
but that's more of a problem with.
I mean, I have faith in BioWare for their storytelling and the fact that I will probably enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but to what extent will I enjoy it? Will
Will it
be like the first Dragon Age where I couldn't stop playing it, but at the same time was sort of hating myself for playing it because I was like, this combat sucks. I really don't want to be playing this game, but I want to find out what happens in the story.
Yeah.
Or am I going to enjoy all aspects of the game?
Yeah, because it has such massive potential. I think that's what's frustrating. It's just like, I could forgive the weird tweaks and stuff like that. I mean, I was cursing a lot at the load times and blah, 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 but I kept playing. I was addicted. But I was hoping that, you know, they would be all around consistent. So I would be disappointed if the graphics and the bugs were still there. Because I was like, you know, this is a really massive thing for BioWare that if they could make this solid, like Mass Effect 2 is an improvement over Mass Effect 1, that kind of thing, I think, would bring in even more players.
However, you guys will play Dragon Age 2. You'll at least sit down and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, unless I see, videos that just look terrible, then yes, I will sit down.
And the trailer is supposed to come out next month on the 17th something,
yes.
So that'll be a more telltale.
But you don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could not have any in-game stuff. It could just be CG.
Yeah. That's that would...
It probably will be.
Yeah.
I don't imagine
especially
that
BioWare,
it will be
they
anywhere.
Especially BioWare, they do some really cool CG trailers.
Like, I mean, honestly, I am really choosing just to not pay attention to these screenshots because it is early. Like, having worked at a developer, I can see how much a game can change really, literally in just a month. Like, leaps and bounds can be made. You know, so you said like there was no textures on the ground. Well, those probably haven't been applied yet. I bet you the stuff in the screenshots isn't lit yet because that you do that at the end. And those types of things that sound simple make a huge difference in how everything looks. So,
well, I pray you're right.
I definitely
want it to be better.
We definitely do not want it to look like this.
Yes, but we're a little nervous.
Yes.
Come on, BioWare. We believe in you because you do have great stories and characters. So if you could just make it all come together.
Yeah, but see, they've sold you one. I mean, BioWare, I would say, argue as a company where sequels are a good thing. Like, you're super excited about Mass Effect 3. Like, I have no problem with sequels.
Yeah, I don't either.
I do when they
for
don't
the
make
most
sense.
Part.
I thought BioShock 2 was a thing that didn't really make sense.
It didn't make
granted,
a ton
I haven't
of sense.
Played it yet. That's still in my backlog of games.
I mean, I liked it, but at first when I heard a sequel was coming out, I was like, why?
Yeah.
You know, like the story was so well wrapped up. But I did like the sequel. It wasn't as good as the first one, but I did end up liking it.
And what if they do about BioShock 3? You know, God, is that going to
right
be also
well, I mean, something like God of War 3, like I would I think they are all very good games. I would argue that they're all actually on a par with each other. You do lose the luster over time. Like playing that first God of War. I mean, that's the thing. That's the one thing I think you just don't get from a sequel. Like when you're playing that game for the first time, like the first time I played a Katamari game or God of War or Sly Cooper, it's like that first sense of discovery. And it's like, oh, wow. Like this is a really freaking amazing, like just that it's something new. And that sense of discovery. And you don't get that from a sequel. Like, and I have really loved them, but I can't think of a sequel that I have loved more than the initial. Than the initial. Not to say that there aren't sequels that aren't better. I'm not arguing that, but
can't re.
But like, they don't recreate that whole like fresh discovery. But that's
actually
said,
for me, the third Ratchet and Clank was the best in my opinion. And I mean, those don't change a lot for game, like you have different weapons or whatever, but the story was so clever in that one, and like it had me laughing out loud like through most of it.
I'm looking forward to Portal 2, but I have to say I'm not necessarily sure it's needed because of just the structure of Portal. So I'm kind of on the fence about stuff like that when it's like you really like the first game but you have a hard time justifying the need for
it's not gonna be that it's not gonna be the same fresh like, wow, this is a really amazing game.
Right, I'll still play it.
Which is really funny because of the demo that the Valve guys gave at E3. They you know talked to us a little bit before they showed the video, and they said like we were trying to figure out you know what it was that fans really latched on to, and we came to the conclusion that you just want to be surprised again. It's like, and that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, especially for a sequel.
Yeah,
but I think that I don't know. Like I was kind of looking at games coming out this fall. I'm not excited for any of them. I mean, I will play them. Like, I'll play Fable 3, I'll play Fallout New Vegas, but I don't have that, you know, that excitement in my tummy. You know, like, oh boy, I can't wait for this game to come out. Like I do for Mass Effect 3, which is also a sequel, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, I think you kind of are hit or miss there with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, you're afraid that, I'm afraid that Fallout New Vegas is just going to be exactly the same as Fallout 3, but in a new setting, which is okay.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Fallout 3. But at the same time,
you're like, okay, I've done
that. Yeah, I've already done that. So I'm sure I'll play it, but how long will I play it? You know?
Mass Effect 3 is going to be the same thing in a new setting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be amazing. And they better bring Caden back, because if Caden's not there, I will seriously fly to their studios and just punch everybody.
Oh, that reminds me. This slight tangent, but you were saying character comes back. I went on Facebook and I tried to get Steve Valentine, the voice of Alistair, to hint whether or not he'd be coming back in Dragon Age 2. And he hasn't responded yet, but it's sort of the same thing where you have a certain character who, if they're not in a
sequel,
you get upset.
I think that's the key to sequels. Like, make a character that you really want to interact with more, and then you're going to be really excited for that next game. But if everything's, if you don't have something you're tied to, like you're just like, okay.
Because
maybe
the whole
play
thing
it.
About the sequels, it's sort of an expansion of a world you're familiar with and enjoyed. And
I mean, Mass Effect 2, all I did was I ran through that game trying to find Caden. I was like, must have. Where is he?
Yeah.
Go. And like, and I was just so, I was tense, like just sitting there waiting until.
You weren't even enjoying the whole
I wasn't. I didn't enjoy it the first time I played it through because I was so nervous, like trying to find him. Why isn't he showing up? Where is he? And slight spoilers, I'm trying not to say, I won't say anything specific, but when you do find him, my heart was broken. And I was like, I don't think I've fully recovered still. Like, because now, like, it has ruined games for me. Because now every time I pick up a game, I have a really hard time getting into it.
Huh.
Whereas before, I was, I don't know, maybe the games just suck now. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
everything has changed.
The world is black.
I think that
I can relate. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with BioShock for me. Like, after I played that game, and I was just so blown away by the story and the world, and I'm just like, nothing is ever ever going to come close to this. And it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
And I also think that sometimes there's a danger of trying to milk your franchise. I know that things are expensive to make, but okay, Square Enix, perfect example. I've been a Final Fantasy fan for 20-something years. I've played almost every single game, and I've noticed that it's gotten to the point where I know they have to pay for these multi-million dollar Final Fantasies, but then they start milking it and watering it down with all these spin-offs and DS games and PSP games that aren't very good.
I think it's like, a crazy, it's like, what was it with FF7 where they had like the four-pronged attack of, like, there was, like, one game and then another game and then the movie and like, all this just, like, crazy.
Yeah, they can stop now. But the irony is, when they do make an original title like The World Ends With You, that was really amazing. It's like, this is what you guys used to do. You used to have all these super original titles that didn't necessarily have a, you know, sequel. Chrono Trigger never really had Chrono Cross, but it wasn't really a direct sequel. And, you know, games like that where it was just really original and really neat. And it's like, I wish they would focus more on that instead
to be fair, though. I mean, those games don't sell as well as the known things. And so, like, as a consumers, you need to go out there and
Final Fantasy 13. And now I'm kicking myself in the butt for buying it. Yeah. Why did I encourage
you
this?
Totally should have bought The World Ends With You. That's a good game.
It's a really good game. It's actually one of the best games that Square Enix has done.
It's a contemporary it's set JRPG. It's like set in present day.
It's in Shibuya. And so if you've been there, it's exactly set up as Shibuya is. And it's a really cool story. And there's like everything, like the graphics are cool. The music's really cool.
And what you wear plays into.
Oh, yeah. Place. It's a big style thing. But it is Shibuya. So Shibuya to Ichimaru Kyu is in there.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, this whole thing has come about, you know, because games are big business.
Yeah.
So lots of games are designed in boardrooms now as opposed to... a bunch of creative guys just coming up with an idea. I mean, you still get that some places, but even if they, like, the idea's got to go past the marketing department, and lots of times those people don't know anything about
games.
Anything.
Yeah. About
Assassin's
games,
Creed and Mass Effect, were these games that were already decided to be trilogies before they even came out?
Yes, Mass Effect was already decided to be a trilogy.
Okay. So I can understand the financial part of it, but it's like, what if the game doesn't sell well?
Oh, well, that's what you call too human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was also supposed to be a trilogy. It is not anymore because it did not sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've hinted that there's going to be another Dante's game.
But right. Yeah.
Dante's Inferno?
Yes.
It's sold enough?
Well, it's sold, I think.
I don't know if it's sold enough or not. I haven't heard anything. I meant from the end of the game. It looks like they're going to do all three books.
About that. Oh, yeah.
So...
Thank goodness that's just what the world
needs. I'm sure it did.
Right.
I'm sure it sold fine.
Yeah, I know, but like the marketing budget on that thing was through the
roof.
That's
true. They might have spent all of their profits on marketing.
Yeah.
And that was a really obnoxious. I hated that marketing campaign.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the game though.
It was all right.
I've only played half of it so far, but
I just think it was kind of, I don't know, it was just lacking character and it was trying to be too much in your face with like being all edgy.
I hate that
crap.
Yeah, that was kind of like, oh, look, there are boobs and
it's
they
like,
sell babies.
It's
and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of dudes with testosterone. We're going to make the most
and
we're going to
make
you
tacky with their vajayjays.
Yeah, we're going to make you kill babies and, you know.
It's shock value for the sake of being shocking as opposed to actually doing anything.
Yep.
Not to mention...
But this, I think those cutscenes, like the CG cutscenes, were really pretty.
They were. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
it was.
Wow. This is.
It looked really good.
Yeah, it did look really
good. Was probably the best looking game I'd seen until God of War 3 came out.
Right.
But, but yeah, and it's just. I still don't understand why they had to name that main character Dante. Like, they could have set something in Dante's world.
Well,
but why they had to name him Dante and.
I don't
like
know.
I said, don't get me started on it.
Yeah.
Thank you, old English major.
So, but yeah, people who complain about sequels, you can do your thing to make sure there are less by supporting original games when they come out.
Yep.
And not buying sequels.
Well, unless
they're awesome. Like
And then, by the way, Christina's been secretly hired by BioWare.
I wish.
And if they show better graphics,
that's the one job I would leave IGN for.
I'll do that for Dragon Age 2 if I can see some better screenshots.
You have to move up to Canada, though.
Yeah. Canada's fine. I don't mind that. I just, if it's cold, I might.
It's cold.
Oh, yeah.
So,
where they are, it is way cold. They're way
up there. So that would be
there.
I don't really want to go there.
But BioWare does
here?
Have, they do have offices in Texas, though.
Chaos. That's right. They do have it, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, but then you have to live in Texas. Sorry, Canadians
probably,
and Texans. I love you both. I just don't want to live in either of your locations.
Texas is too hot.
Exactly.
Although, too cold. I don't know.
Although I know a lot of people who've moved or been to Texas and they really love it. And
they're
not even native.
It's Austin.
Austin is really cool.
Austin.
Yeah.
So that's where they are. So one of us needs to go there. I think I'll go to Texas and you can go to
Austin
Canada.
Is like a clean version of Haight Ashbury.
Oh.
Like without all the drug users and trash and stuff.
They have
like
drug
that.
Users. Sure they just don't hang out on the street.
Yeah, they're a lot cleaner. Yeah.
They don't stay in their house.
Yeah, it's got that cool kind of vibe. Like music's a big scene down there. Mm-hmm. And there's good food.
No, Austin's a great town. It's still very hot.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so support original games if you really like them, because that's the only way more of them are going to get made. And in the meantime, stop complaining about sequels. They are
they're what makes the industry.
I think you have the right to complain about them if they suck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, don't just be like, oh, it's a sequel. It's bad automatically, but obviously, right, if it really is terrible, by all means,
yeah,
trash it.
Yep.
Alrighty, so we're going to move on to questions now. As always, if you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. Our first question, before I do this, I want to give a shout out to Denny, whose question that we read last week, and I didn't read the whole email, and I called her a guy by accident.
But she's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she had the same experience that I had when I was 2 years old.
Yes.
And had short hair.
There you go. So sorry, Denny. We didn't mean it. And I will, from now on, highlight gender in these emails instead of just the questions. Okay. So first question does come to us from a female, from Katie. Katie says that the only female gamers that she has come across were like the mean ones that we talked about in like episode 4 or whatever. She says she's delighted to discover that we're not all like that. Well, good. I'm glad. I'm sorry that that's all you've run into. But her question specifically is that women who pose as gamers to try to get attention, men or whatever, like, I'm a gamer, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a low-hanging fruit sort of thing.
Yeah, she says it turns men off where they feel manipulated and think it's disingenuous, resulting in men hating female gamers. She said, I found this comment quite surprising, for I've always experienced quite the opposite. So my question is, have any of you experienced this resentment and hatred from male gamers that she refers to?
No.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
No, I have not. Granted, I don't play online because...
Right.
Which is just because... I think that people are just immature and mean to anyone on there and will say nasty things. I don't think it's, you know, they're just looking for...
Yeah, in person, I have definitely never run into that, but I have made the mistake of looking at some of the comments on IGN from time to time.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Yes, I know. I need to set up my computer to shock me or something whenever I'm going to try.
No, I don't do that. Yeah. But then, you know, also take that with a grain of salt, because that happens to everyone. The whole thing about anonymity.
I check comments until it gets to a certain amount. So, like, I'll check up to 20, like, and then once it goes past 20, I will not read them.
Yeah.
Because then I know it has just turned into a...
Why someone
pissy
sucks.
Fit of some sort.
Flame war.
Whether or not I suck, or the PS3 sucks, or the Xbox sucks, or the Wii sucks. It's some sort of badness in there.
Okay, so.
But no, as far as other people that I play games with.
Unfortunately, it sounds like she's getting the bad rap with her gamers. Yeah. Yes, there really are very many nice gamers of us out there. So
Both male and female.
Yes. So next question comes from Charles. Charles wrote a really, really long story. Let me see. Where did I highlight? Okay. Have we ever met an online community that revived a game to us or changed our opinion on a game?
No.
No.
But I don't spend a lot of time on online game forums.
Elaborate, please.
Okay. This is Megan talking, so you all know who's talking. A lot of online bloggers on IGN are saying that I should try White Knight Chronicles. Now, we didn't give it a very good review, and I've talked to a lot of coworkers, and they were like, meh. But apparently, it's got sort of a cult following now where it's, I don't know if it's a sleeper hit per se, but people keep going, you should really give this game a try. It's much better than a lot of the reviews have been saying. So I haven't gotten around to it because I just don't want to spend the money on something I may or may not like, but it is...
Should borrow the office copy.
Yeah, just borrow the office copy.
Yeah, and Demon's Souls is... It's too hard. Otherwise. Because it has a huge following in the U.S., and people love the challenge, but I'm like, I don't like the fact that I can't even get past the first level. So
yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if they like the game so much. It's like
they
like
the rite
of passage or something.
Yeah.
Like,
like you're a real gamer.
I'm a real gamer because I played this game.
Right.
You're not.
Yeah.
I mean, you're... sure, you're a real gamer, but so am I. Yeah. Even though I don't want to play this game.
Yeah. Even if I don't have skills.
Because I don't want to beat my head up against the wall.
Right.
Yeah. I like it the way
you
it is.
You can't even level grind in the first level. It's ridiculous. And so I'm like, well.
Oh, what? Really?
You can't get your levels to rise to meet the challenge. You basically, it's a whole thing of luck and some sort of impossible skill. You have to do it like 20 times before you figure it out. And I was like, I have more sense than that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste my time. Yeah. So, which is too bad because it had massive potential. But yeah. White Knight Chronicles and then Demon's Souls I tried out, but it turned out not to work out so well. But
yeah, I tried the game a little bit too, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah, I mean, community for me like comes after I'm into a game if I participate
in it at
all.
I don't really go out
yeah.
seeking those sorts of things.
Right, yeah. I'm the same way.
Especially if I'm not sure I want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever spend any time in an online community. Maybe for an MMO. But that would be
if I ever played an MMO, that would be what I would go for.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes from Chris. Chris says, whenever you have gone out on a date with someone you didn't meet through the industry, be it 10 years ago or last week, what are some of the responses you've received from guys when you've told them you're gamers? That doesn't really
apply to me. It doesn't apply to me. But I will say, just as someone, you know, who, like, it's any time I tell guys what I do, that's a pretty positive response. Yeah. And my husband has gotten, like, I remember kind of right after we got married and he went to, his best friend was getting married back in the Midwest and he went back and I did not go because I didn't know anyone. And I was like, I'm not going to Arkansas. Have fun by yourself. and I definitely got the cool wife award because they were like, your wife works in video games.
What?
She can bring this stuff. And their wives did not have jobs that were deemed as cool.
Yes.
I get sort of, if I go on dates and it comes up what I do or whatever, I get a kind of, oh, really? That's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a nerd, you know, but it's not like, wow, you work for ING, you know, either. So it's kind of like a, oh, that's kind of cool, you know, but it's not looked negatively or positively. It's sort of like.
I think the other thing, too, that factors into that is it's probably unlikely that any of us would want to date somebody that would carry that opinion anyhow, like just that type
of
person.
Imagine that if anybody did that on your first date, that would be the last date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like,
oh, wait, you just insulted my livelihood.
Yeah.
That's what I do every day. So bye.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah,
can you pay for my bill, please?
Nice.
I'm gonna go.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
take
I,
that
I just,
money.
I just,
I would. Why not?
I don't see those as being people that we would just even be attracted in at all to even like go out on a date with.
Exactly.
So. Well, if you wouldn't know, if it was like a blind date or something.
Yeah, I pretty much only dated nerds though.
Yeah. Yeah, I never like did nerds. Blind dates. I love nerds. I'm married to one.
Yeah.
I'm too, right, I'm supposed to stop calling him that.
Oh.
Wow. Dork.
Yeah. Okay, next question comes to us from Tom. Tom says, do you think that games conform to the stereotypes of male and female characters, the muscle-bound guys and the bimbo girls, because it's a safer and easier option when designing a game to make up for the horrible story behind them?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I don't know. It's kind of like...
I've seen those games where those stereotypes are there, but I've also seen several where they are not.
Not.
Yes. Right.
I think it's just sort of a standard aesthetic for video games in general.
The men are
because of the typical, like, the historical audience has been dudes in their, you know, teens and 20s.
Yeah, it's actually...
Sick!
I think inside joke. I actually think that that's what Denny was bringing up in her question last week, is that because games are still predominantly made by men, the male characters are idealized versions of themselves,
right, and then
the female characters are their idealized version of a woman. So,
So top-heavy, you know, heavy makeup-wearing babes with guns.
Yes.
Well, that's how I come to work every day.
Yeah.
Especially with my holster.
Okay. Next question comes from Brandon, and he wants to know what we think of the Sonic Colors games.
I haven't seen
coming.
It, so I'm gonna.
I saw the screenshots. I think it was pretty, but I'm not a Sonic fan, so I don't really care.
I haven't seen it either. Arthur said he thought it looked cool, like very old school Sonic-ish. So
with more colors.
Yes.
The colors.
So yeah, apologies on that. Maybe we'll talk about that game later on when it gets a little closer. Next question is from Chris Christie. I don't know if that's first and last name.
No, okay, no gender pronouns.
Yeah, no gender pronouns. So this person says, sees females working in the industry, many gamers see females working in the industry and assume that they are either a token female hire or in some way plied their sexuality to get a job. Sadly, this group includes a decent amount of female gamers themselves. As females in the industry, how do you feel with the idiots trivializing how you've obtained your position? Does it ever affect you personally, or have you built up a Kevlar armor against these attacks?
That would have been a good one for Jess to answer, but
I was gonna say.
But she is not here.
I don't think anyone's ever looked at me and been like, hey, "You totally got hired for your looks."
Yeah. All I know is I wasn't, because I got hired through a phone interview.
Yeah,
so they did basically not know what me I looked too. Like. That was it. So
yeah, I don't feel like anyone that I have ever actually worked with, or anyone who I've had professional dealings with, I've never gotten any vibe from them that you must be here just to diversify the gene pool sort of
thing. There's definitely I can't speak for IGN in the past, but with there being as many of us on staff as there are now, we're not tokens. I mean, we'd be like half the staff tokens, you know. Mm-hmm. tokens. So Jess is probably the one that has had the most experience with that, because she has said that she gets mad and people don't take her seriously. Yeah, which I think seems happening.
But she did say a couple of weeks ago that she was, you know, she had to work from the ground up to get started. It wasn't like she just took the PSP licking picture and was like, boom, instant success. She had to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, next question comes from Aaron. Aaron says, if you could create your own hybrid animal using extinct or living animals, what two animals would you mix and what would you name it?
Oh, man.
I would have a lobster as half of it, definitely.
A lobster?
And I only say this because there was a slightly long story. So there was a game that came out, a PC game that came out several years ago called Impossible Creatures, where you were basically building hybrid animals and everything, but it turned out it wasn't a very good game. And lobsters were one of the animals, and lobster ended up being the best animal. So I worked on Computer Gaming World at the time, and we had commissioned a strategy guide for the back. And the person who wrote it was Eric Wolpaw, who's the guy who wrote Portal then later, but he was one of our freelancers then. And so he had a whole thing in there just basically ripping on how bad the game was, because we had commissioned it before we actually got the review in. And he had all these really funny, snarky comments, and he said they should have just called the game Impossible Lobsters. And so now whenever I think of animal hybrids, I think of lobsters.
Add something to the lobster.
A lobster with a cheetah.
All right.
A fast lobster or a very slow cheetah. With claws.
A cheetob.
Or just a lobster that goes, wow.
Yeah.
Because that would be funny.
That would be funny.
Mine, I think.
And it goes really fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Like, my two favorite animals are sharks and snakes. I don't know how those would fit together very well, though. Yeah.
Neat.
I'm kind of into the vicious.
Yeah, that's true.
Vicious animals. I have no idea what
and
you would call that.
And a big, pointy-toothed mouth.
I'm going to go with a flying tiger, because I would want to ride it around. And I'm going to call it a flyger.
Flyger.
Didn't He-Man or somebody have a flying tiger?
Maybe.
She-Ra?
I don't know. Thundercats. Did the Thundercats fly?
I don't know.
I mean, like, big Pegasus wings.
Uh-huh.
Battle Cat and Cringer was what you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
It changed into Battle Cat, but he didn't fly, I don't think.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna
say. What about you, Megan?
I don't know. I'm happy with all of God's creatures just the way they are.
I'm not. Improve them.
Bird and a monkey, so you can have like the flying monkeys from Wizard
God,
of Oz.
Oh, God, no, scary. So.
No, but I want to be able to say, fly, my pretties.
Oh. I'm sure you could say that anyway.
Yeah.
Less than a monkey.
That's what she's going to say to her flying tiger.
Yeah. Fly, my pretty fly.
And then I'm going to act out a window and hope they fly.
And I will say it to my lobster cheetah.
I will love it and squeeze it, and I will name it George.
Nice. Well done.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Michael. Michael quickly wants to point out, he has multiple names here of ugly soccer players. So,
oh no,
I guess. We
so
just check them out.
Jess's theory is false.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to say, basically.
So, his question is, do we think that PlayStation Move games will encourage developers to aim higher when developing Wii games. Is it pragmatic for someone like Zipper, who is a developer for the PlayStation, to develop for PS3 and Wii at the same time, or are the systems and architecture too different? Will it lead to better quality Wii ports? Blah, blah, blah,
I would
blah,
argue
blah.
That they would probably build it for the Wii and then try and port it up. Yeah, port it up to the PS3.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will help the quality of games on the Wii. No.
No.
No. Nah, I don't think so.
But I hope that Epic Mickey goes to the PS3.
I don't think it's gonna.
I know, but I can hope. Like I can hope and dream.
You can hope.
Yeah.
Because I want to play it there. I want the trophies.
and the prettier graphics.
Yeah, HD.
Okay. Next question comes from Bahair. Bahair's from Egypt. He says, I'll spare you the trouble of trying to pronounce my name. Well, I just tried anyhow. If you could replace your male coworkers with video game characters, who would you replace them with?
Christina, I shared a look just now. Yeah. I know who you're going to say from Mass Effect.
Kidding.
Yes. I'm going to
say Alistair. Yeah, actually, yeah, those two would make a pretty damn good team.
Yeah.
Who would I bring in? Oh, Nathan Drake.
We're just gonna pick hot guys. All right, let's do this.
John Marston, Red Dead Redemption.
He's not hot.
I think he's not hot.
Well, I have a character. It's not a
face
and that beard.
But he's not a hot. Not a hot guy. I would love to have Clank around from Ratchet and Clank.
Oh yeah, adorable things are also welcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yoshi.
Sly Cooper. Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh, the Prince. Oh, and the King of All Cosmos, just because he'd be really entertaining to watch get mad.
He would just yell at us all day.
I know. And then shoot lasers out of his eyes.
He would tell us how terrible we are at our jobs.
I know, but it would be so funny.
Ooh, Kratos.
Sorry. No.
Yeah, he'd be too moody.
No. I would not want him there. He'd just shout at you all day, too.
True.
And he'd glower from the corner
No.
And then he'd whip his chains around.
Yeah, you're like, okay,
rip your head off.
I'm sorry.
With his bare hands. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a fun question.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one comes from Liam. Liam was wondering whether we thought that many games are made for an American audience because of the size of the country, while games set in another country would possibly not sell as well. And he says, would a game set in a sleepy English village appeal to us across the pond?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I had a good story.
Yeah.
I've been playing this Blue Toad
Mystery Files,
which is set in a sleepy English village, and they make fun of that fact and kind of the stereotypes that go along with that, and I think it's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, I don't care where a game is set as long as it's interesting.
In fact, the more kind of offbeat it is, the more I kind of like it if it has a good story.
Yeah,
as
I mean,
long
most,
as it's not
we need diversity.
Yeah, most of the ones that I enjoy are in completely fictional worlds, like Rapture or things like that. Post-apocalyptic,
space.
Yeah.
I can do with a little bit fewer of the space set games. There's a lot of those.
Christina
and I are patsies of BioWare. Let's just admit it.
Yeah, we totally are. We love
how are we doing?
We have time for one more, and then we have to stop.
Okay. Last message comes from Nathan. Nathan wants to know what we think about renting games. I think it's fine.
Good.
I'm all for the try before you buy. I think this is in relation to our big
used
game.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah.
Brouhaha.
Yeah.
I think renting is different, though, than buying. Because
they get
used.
A kickback from that, right? How does that, I don't know how that's.
I think renting, I mean, they have to buy the game to
and I think they
out.
Have to pay a slightly higher price for it.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So.
And or pay, I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. For sure.
I never know how that's worked with movie or any of that stuff.
Right. It's different than just straight the retailer being able to take all the profit on a used game. It's
a little
bit different.
I mean, if I didn't have access to, I mean, we're all in such a unique situation in that we can borrow pretty much anything that we want. But I definitely would rent like something like a God of War or something that's like a short, like contained plotline. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gamefly sounds great.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I didn't work here, that's probably something that I would do.
That was going to be something I was going to do. And then work at NGN.
Yeah. So we're all pro renting. No fight about that one.
No. Sorry.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. Few quick notes. Don't forget, Lucy Bradshaw will be here next week.
I'm so bummed I'm missing it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the only week she could come.
Yeah, no.
And we'll be recording on Thursday because that's the day that she is coming. If you don't know who she is a very high-ranking female developer at Maxis. And if you don't know who Maxis is, you just should be slapped. They that Maxis is this is Will Wright's studio. Mm-hmm. Designed the SimCity, The Sims, Spore, plenty of great
and
games.
And Lucy's basically in charge of the studio now.
Lucy is basically in charge of the studio now. So like Will Wright like spews some creative idea and she
He's not even there anymore.
Makes it happen.
He left.
Oh, did he really? Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I guess she is Will Wright then now. But anyhow, she will be here next week. So if you have questions specifically for her, please send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com and put Lucy in the subject line so that we can ferret those out. You can also send questions for us to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.